Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And it is officially draft week in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The draft is 3 days away, which means that we are, I guess, technically, depending on when you're listening, are back with our annual mock draft, something that we've done, gosh, I don't know how many years at this point, probably every year, but I think our first season as podcasters. So that's a ways.
Our fifth one, probably. That's crazy.
Yeah. And we seem to get better, right? Every year. I think we hit on a couple more last year. We said with Andrew that we got Oladapo, Edgerrin Cooper, and Marshawn Lloyd. So we'll see this year if we get any picks. This draft feels honestly like the most unpredictable draft in a really long time. So it's fitting that it's in Green Bay, right? Because there are probably 20 options for them at pick 23. There's 20 options for them if they trade down. If there's somebody they adore and trade up, that would be surprising, but it wouldn't be fully surprising because it's Brian Gutekunst. So let's set the parameters, at least for our version of the mock draft. We always use, well, the last couple of years, we've used the PFF mock draft simulator. We have it set more towards the public board, but putting a little bit of the PFF spin in there because the public board is a little too predictable. We're going to do all seven rounds, but we don't do trades. So even if we personally think that on draft night, the Packers are probably going to move around the board, for simplicity's sake of doing the mock draft, we're going to try to stick and pick as much as possible. So starting with 23 and then moving all through the rounds, even if we do get trade offers from the mock simulator. But Perry, any thoughts about this one before we kick it off?
No, this is going to be fun. I always love seeing how differently our two boards fall. Mm-hmm. You just never know what the simulator is going to give each of us. I find like sometimes we have the same people that we can pick from and we try not to do repeat picks ever, but sometimes they look wildly different and I always like find that amusing.
Yeah, because it feels like the randomness is more true to draft night. And I do like that this year they finally added a my picks category so you can see the picks that you're making instead of in previous years where you just had to try to remember what positions you already took. So at the end, we'll go ahead and we'll save the versions of our drafts and then we'll put them up on like Blue Sky and Twitter and let people take a look at them when the show goes up so that you don't have to try to remember this for us, because normally we would try to screen share for you, but there's two of us. We're doing this at the same time and we don't have the capacity to stream both at once. So you're just gonna have to listen to it and take our word for it. And then we'll give you some recaps at the very end. So Perry, why don't we go ahead and enter the draft and start with round one?
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. I feel like we need the little on the clock chime for this.
We do.
To make it more authentic.
I have to start draft. I'm in, but now I need to start.
Okay. It is it is ready for me.
Okay. Tell me what you're seeing.
Okay. So I already am skeptical of this because Cam Ward didn't go till 7 to the Jets.
Oh, what?
So I already don't love where this is heading. But you know, we'll see. It's pretty interesting. I don't really like the way that my board is falling for the Packers. Starting with pick 12, the Cowboys took Mike Green, the edge rusher, out of Marshall. Donovan Azaraku goes at 13 to the Dolphins. Then there's Will Johnson at 14. The corner, Amika Igbuka, goes 15. Walter Nolan goes 16. Matthew Golden goes 17. Jalen Walker makes it all the way to 19. Kenneth Grant goes 20. And then Shamar Stewart goes 22. So a lot of the names that I would have wanted to be there for me at 23 or considered are not there for me. Mm-hmm. If this were truly the way that the board was sitting at 23, if I'm Goody, I'm trying really hard to trade back. But because that is not what we're doing for this exercise, some names I have available. I've got Luther Burden III from Missouri, if I want to take a wide receiver. Colston Loveland, the tight end, is there, which is fascinating, but seems highly unlikely. Kelvin Banks, the tackle from Texas, is there. James Pierce Jr., the edge out of Tennessee. Do know he was in for a top 30 visit with the Packers. Does have some, I guess you could call them, character concerns. Everything I've read has made it seem like people don't know how much he loves football, which I think is a really weird metric to try and measure, which could potentially be why Goody brought him in. Trey Amos is there. Nick Skort in the edge is there. Josh Connerly, Benjamin Morrison, who I really like at corner. This one's tough for me. Who's on your board while I mull over my decision?
So mine went, I think, a little more as expected than yours, because Cam Ward went second and then Travis Hunter. If you go a little bit further down, let's say starting with pick 10, it was Tet McMillan, which I know has been like a little bit of a wide receiver that Goot loves, but gone way before possible. Then I had Will Johnson go next to the 49ers, which I actually hate so much if that happened. Mike Green at 12 with the Cowboys as well, same as you. Malachi Starks, Walter Nolan, Donovan Ezeraku to the Falcons. If you're skipping ahead, Kenneth Grant went at 18 to the Seahawks. Then Jalen Walker, Amike Egbuka went 21, and then Shamar Stewart at 22. Right ahead of the Packers. So not too dissimilar to yours, maybe in like slightly different orders. I also have Colston Loveland as my next highest ranked. I'd be hard pressed to imagine the Packers taking a tight end in the first round. Kelvin Banks Jr., James Pierce Jr., edge from Tennessee. Matthew Golden is available for me here, which is interesting. I still don't see it, them taking a wide receiver at 23, but that's definitely a possibility. If we're doing the fan hat or the Goot hat, that also depends. That changes the picks. I also have Trey Amos, Benjamin Morrison, cornerback from Notre Dame. And a little bit further down, someone I know the Packers have brought in Mikael Williams. He's available, but he's ranked 38th, which I think is interesting. But if the Packers are higher on him than other boards, like they have with players in the past, like nobody saw Quay Walker being the first, you know, the linebacker that they took in the first round, right? He's available. So I think I have a few interesting choices. It just depends on where I want to go here.
Yeah. For me, I've got it narrowed down to four.
Okay.
I guess technically five, but which isn't very helpful. But James Pierce Jr., I think the Packers have done their due diligence on him, and they would not bring him in if they still had character concerns. I'm not sure edge is the move at 23. I think the Packers feel better about their edge room than we do.
Yeah.
Nick Skorton is also there. I think 23 is a little rich for him, but if our listeners listen to Mina Kimes, she had Daniel Jeremiah on for her last War Room episode today. And he talked about how there's some teams in the 20s that love Nick Skorton, and they think that he is going to go earlier in the first round than people are anticipating. He is such a Packery prospect to me that I could see the Packers being one of those teams that is in love with him. I know Packers fans, from what I've gathered on social media, would not necessarily love that, but he seems like the kind of player that they would gravitate towards. Josh Connerly Jr., the tackle out of Oregon, is there. I'm skeptical if they'll take a tackle this early. I would prefer that they not. But again, this is the Goody hat, not the Maggie hat. Yeah. So I'm going to take Trey Amos at 23.
That's what I was thinking.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's a great pick. I love it.
I mean, he's in for a top 30 visit. We know the Packers, they're desperately looking to move Jair, it sounds like, as much as we're reading the tea leaves. He doesn't seem like he'll be a Packer. So I think it's got to be Amos.
Of course, we were going to pick the same person. that's okay. He's a great pick. And if they pick him, I'd be very happy. I'm going to go and I'm going to do something maybe a little bit more fun than what I think will actually happen. But I think something about the Packers finally taking a first round wide receiver in Green Bay is just too good of a storyline. So I'm going to go Matthew Golden.
I love it. I was hoping that you would. I mean, there's rumors, right? McMillan is in the conversation if the Packers were going to trade up. Goody was the only GM at his private workout. So I think there's a lot of interest in a wide receiver, and Golden being there at 23, you know, doesn't feel necessarily likely to me. You know, I think he's a good fit for like the Cowboys, but if he was there, I think the Packers would have a really tough decision to make.
Yeah.
With him on the board.
100%.
All right. So now we are on to pick 54 in round two. I've got, once again, another run on players that I really, really like have gone in all of the picks in front of me. JT Tuimoloau went to the Bengals at 49, the edge rusher out of Ohio State. Siobhan Revell, the corner out of East Carolina, went to the Seahawks. Omar Norman Lott, the defensive lineman, went to the Broncos. Benjamin Morrison, the corner out of Notre Dame, goes to Seattle. And Maxwell Hairston goes to the Buccaneers, one pick ahead, another corner. But I think that makes a ton of sense because the Packers aren't going to take a second corner, likely, if they take Trey Amos in the first round. So don't love where my board is sitting. This feels like a very heavy running back zone. There's a lot of running backs still on the board here. Cam Scadabo, Travion Henderson is still here. Dylan Sampson, the running back out of Tennessee. I don't know. This is tough. I really like Carson Schweisinger. We talked about him with Andrew last week, the inside linebacker. But boy, if the Packers went into this draft and took a corner and a linebacker with their first two picks, I don't know what social media would do. Yeah. But he's intriguing to me. I've got a couple wide receivers here. I've got Jalen Royals out of Utah State. Kyle Williams, I really like, out of Washington State. And then Darian Porter, the corner out of Iowa, is here. Or Iowa State. And if I had not taken Trey Amos, I would love to take Darian Porter. So I'm conflicted here. Trey Harris, the wide receiver out of Mississippi, also here. So what does your board look like while I mull this one over?
Well, I got kicked out of my mock draft, so I had to restart it. And Matthew Golden is no longer on the board for me in this scenario. He got picked at 19. So now I need to pick another first round pick and then show you what my second round pick is. So in this situation, Shamar Stewart hasn't gone. And I know he's a little controversial due to his lack of production in college, but he was brought in for a top 30 visit. He's got every like characteristic of an NFL player. So even though maybe he needs some refinement, I think he could be someone that the Packers maybe like trade back in the first round for. Everyone else that I mentioned earlier is still available. I could pick Nick Scorton for you if you want. but at this, or Benjamin Morris, the cornerback from Notre Dame. But at this point, it's looking like only defensive players are on the board, which is how I imagine that the board will look on the actual day. Or we can do, this might be a reach, but Alec Ayaminor, who Andrew loves, is here. He's ranked 35th. So I feel like if they picked him, it would be a trade back situation. So I don't know now because my guy was taken, but am I going to anger Packers fans if I take Shamar Stewart because he doesn't have the production?
I think he's a very Packery pick.
He's such a Packery pick.
So if we're going for the Goody role, then I think it's Stewart or Scorton.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Stewart. The tie goes to, you know, them bringing him in, basically. And then now, now I have a lot of positions that the Packers don't need, but safety, Kevin Winston Jr., Demetrius Knight Jr., the linebacker from South Carolina. JT, the Ohio State edge rusher. Yes, thank you. You know, I'm so bad with the pronunciations. Kyle Williams, wide receiver from Washington State. Darian Porter, cornerback from Iowa State. But now we're getting a little far down the board. And again, I feel like a lot of these are reaches. So I don't know. I would love them to take an offensive player high. I just don't know how high they are on like a Jalen Royals from Utah State or a Kyle Williams from Washington State. or Trey Harris from Mississippi.
I like all three of those players personally. Like, yeah. Trey Harris to me feels the least like what's on their roster already.
Yeah.
But I don't know if 54 is too early to commit. But since, you know, we are like, not doing trades.
We are not. I mean, he has some things to develop into, but he has the downfield, I should say, threat. Which is what they're missing with Christian Watts now. Not that I think that they should be drafting, though, to replace a player who's hurt themselves. It does feel a little rich, though, because he's ranked at 66. Well, things get crazy. Where are you at?
So I'm really intrigued by Carson Schweisinger. And it just feels too rich to take an inside linebacker here, because I think they're still gambling on Quay being the running mate for Cooper, and they just brought in Isaiah McDuffie. But the depth there is still thin. So you know you've got Cooper, you know what you have in him. McDuffie's kind of designed to be your thumper, but there's other thumpers that you can get in rounds 3 and 4, or even late day 3. So I don't want to take a linebacker that highly, even though I think that he would be a very fantastic running mate for Edge Cooper. Jared Ivey's there for me, the edge rusher out of Ole Miss, who is fun. But again, I think I have to take a wide receiver here.
Yeah.
So if there's a specific wide receiver that you want, I will not take him.
Otherwise, no, you make your pick. It might help me. I'm between two.
All right. Well, I'm gonna take Trey Harris. And I think Jalen Royals is potentially a player that they would like a little bit more. But Trey Harris to me just feels like something that they don't have on the roster is like a big bodied, like true X who could be potentially a wide receiver one. And didn't realize it, but now I've drafted Ole Miss players with my first two selections.
That's very funny. I do think I'm in on Jalen Royals. He's the size. He's the age, right? He's really young. He took a really circuitous route to this draft too, being a JUCO player and ending up. And I feel like that level of resiliency, you know, creates a type of person. Also thinking about like locker room fit. So I'll go with that. You know, Jordan Love can throw to another Utah State man.
I think he'd be the first player drafted since Jordan Love from Utah State. I thought I read that. That's why everybody's like mocking him to Green Bay. Because they're like, oh my God, it's another.
They didn't play together. So,
right.
But that's funny. I kind of love that. Okay. That's my pick.
All right. So going into round 3 here, we've got pick number 87. Mm-hmm. And this is where I feel like I really need to fortify my defensive line in some capacity. Players that just went a couple picks before me. Let's see. The board held up pretty well. Kyle Kennard from South Carolina, the edge rusher, went a couple spots ahead. This is where Jalen Milroe went to the Steelers, the quarterback out of Alabama. So that's kind of a cool spot for him if he were to make it all the way to the 3rd round. Jalen Noel, the wide receiver out of Iowa State, goes to the Broncos. And then Jonah Savenia, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the tackle out of Arizona, who I thought was a sneaky fit for the Packers, goes at 86 to the Chargers. But I like the way that my board looks. Andrew McBuka is there, the safety out of Texas. Linebacker Chris Paul Jr. is there, also out of Ole Miss, so I cannot take a 3rd Ole Miss player in the draft. That would just be insane. Jared Wilson, the Georgia center, is there. Wyatt Millam, the tackle out of West Virginia, is there. Charles Grant, another tackle, is there, who I like. Ashton Jalot is there, the edge rusher, who we talked about with Andrew last week, who feels like such a Packer. Jordan Birch is there, the edge rusher out of Oregon, who I like. Harold Fannin Jr., who Packers fans are obsessed with. He's like the darling of the draft this year at tight end, is there as well. So a lot of Packersy fits here. I really like Femi Oladejo, the edge rusher out of UCLA. kind of a tweener that's becoming more of an edge rusher, played linebacker, and is transitioning. So I have my eye on him, but I'm gonna continue to look at my board while you talk through your third round.
Okay. So I still have Kyle Williams on the board, interestingly enough, if I wanted to double dip at receiver. I also have Femi Oladejo, who I was eyeing, Chris Paul Jr. A bunch of offensive linemen now. We have like a run on tackles. So if the Packers feel the need to spend a third round pick on an offensive lineman, but I don't know if they're going to do that given how much they've already invested in the line in free agency and last year's draft. I also have Ashton Jalot, but I've already taken an edge, but that doesn't mean anything. Jalen Milroe is still on my board, which is funny. I don't think that's going to happen in real life. Harold Fannin Jr. Yeah. So there's also a number of running backs. But I also can't see them going that route either. So I'm conflicted. Just more about like positional value, to be honest, because I also haven't taken a corner. And for me, that still feels like a really strong need. The highest ranked corner on my board is Dorian Strong from Virginia Tech.
I do like him.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll still be there in the next, if I let him go in the next round. So I have some things to think about while you make your pick.
So this is funny because when Andrew and Kyle and I for Pack-A-Day last week, we do an on-the-clock simulation, and Kyle and I had to pretend to be the GM and the top scout. And the two players that were on our board in the third round were Femi Oladejo and then Ashton Jalot. And we had to try to pick between the two of them. And Kyle made me decide. And I picked Femi because I really like his speed, and I like that he transitioned from inside linebacker. And I just thought that he brought a lot of the intangibles to the defense that they don't necessarily have like a duplicative skill set of. So I think for this mock to be different, and because I was really conflicted when I made that pick, I have to take Ashton Jalot here because he just feels like another really Packersy prospect. Very thick kind of athlete, perfect for that kind of 4-3 defensive edge rusher that we're thinking, at least, that Hafley's going to continue to implement. So
yeah,
as much as it pains me to not take Oladejo, I'm going to take Jalot here.
So I actually am glad you did that because I'm leaning Oladejo. and I say that only because I don't know. I don't know if I can see the Packers taking two kind of not fully polished pass rushers, but also that room was such an obvious weakness that it wouldn't surprise me if this is a year where they double dip at a position that's so important, especially when that defense, in my opinion, is like really right there. I'm tempted to take a corner, but I might risk it. I might risk it. Is this stupid of me?
Put on your Goody hat. What's it telling you?
It's telling me that there's a position of need ranked higher than where I'm picking on the clock. And so value and need are winning me over.
Okay.
Okay.
So who's the pick?
Oladejo.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
Milroe just got picked pick 112 to the Saints in my draft.
That's crazy.
That's not going to happen, but very interesting.
I am struggling now going into day three of this because there are not a lot of defensive linemen available for me. This is a really deep class, but where I'm picking, the value isn't there. like JJ Pegues just went to the Buccaneers, three picks ahead of me, and Aeneas Peebles, the defensive lineman out of Virginia Tech, just left my board. So I'm waiting, like hoping for a big guy to be there because I want to add another body to that room. But there is nobody really here. I guess, I mean, Ty Robinson is there out of Nebraska. He feels kind of Packers-y. He's a good player. He's just more kind of depth, I think, in the defensive line room. But I've got to wait and see, you know, beyond him. I've got Danny Stutzman who's there. If I wanted a thumping linebacker to replace Isaiah McDuffie, this I think would be the player to replace him with. Melo Dodson is a really fun corner. He's here. Miles Frazier, I really, really like, the guard out of LSU. He feels like an absolute Packer kind of player. Justin Wally, the corner out of Minnesota, I really like, but he, once again, I took a corner. I don't know if I want to take another one. Isaiah Bond is here, the wide receiver we know visited with the Packers, whose draft stock has taken a hit now because of some accusations coming out pre-draft. Not sure if the Packers would kind of roll those dice. Logan Brown, a tackle's here. Jordan Hancock, the safety, who I think is probably going to play corner at the next level, is here out of Ohio State. So I'm hoping some of these guys will be here at 159. And as I mull that over, who do you got on your board?
I have a lot of similar. Danny Stutzman is the third top guy, third ranked guy. I have a Georgia tight end, Benjamin Urosek. If we want to go back to offense, I have Melo Dodson, cornerback. My guy, Ahmed Hassanin, is here at 129, which I think fourth round would be kind of high to pick him. But if I want to do the feel good story with the edge from Boise State, I'm really thinking about Justin Wally because I haven't taken a corner and I actually really like him as like a later round pick. So that's like where my head is leaning.
Okay. I'm between Ty Robinson out of Nebraska, the defensive lineman, or Miles Frazier, the guard out of LSU. And the reason that I like Miles Frazier is that he's kind of a career right guard. He played left guard a little bit in 2022 and then has transitioned to right guard. And I think that's probably where the Packers would plug him in. We don't know what's going to happen with Sean Ryan. We don't know what'll happen kind of long-term at the right guard position, but he has quite a bit of versatility who could, you know, compete and come in and eventually be a starter. The Packers always find gems in day three of the draft. So because I don't love Ty Robinson, I think I'm going to take Miles Frazier and then hope that there's a defensive lineman I like a little bit more in the fifth round.
Okay. I like it. I am a little bit more conflicted now because I feel like if Danny Stutzman is here, then you take that guy as potentially the next one. But we did hear that Goot is probably going to pick up both Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt's fifth year options. So like he wouldn't have to immediately be a starter. And we know how important linebackers are in Jeff Hafley's defense. So I think that's actually, I'm changing my mind. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. I like it.
Thank you.
I have let my draft continue running here all the way into the fifth round. And there are some names here that are still on the board.
Nice.
So one of them being Ty Robinson. So I made all of that hemming and hawing about taking him at 124, and he's still available here at 159. He's actually the highest rated player still on my big board. Jalen Reed is here, the safety out of Penn State. Justin Wally's still there. Logan Brown is such a Packery kind of player to me too. He was a tackle actually at Wisconsin as like a backup reserve, and then he transferred to Kansas, had some injuries and was just like 1 year as a starter, but he's still here. But yeah, I think because there's really not any other defensive linemen available on my board, I've got to take Ty Robinson and at least get a body in the room so that I know that I have at least depth there. He has experience primarily in the B gap, but a little bit over tackle as well. Got a good run stop grade. He's strong against the run. So very different body type, of course, than TJ Slayton, but should hopefully do be a serviceable replacement. That's a little bit leaner, and I think can get after the quarterback a little bit better than TJ Slayton could to come in and help kind of push the pocket.
Nice. I have all the same guys as you, pretty much. Ty Robinson, Miles Frazier, Cameron Jackson, Jalen Reed, and Justin Wally is still here. So I didn't even have to fret. I can get two guys I like and go with the cornerback from Minnesota.
Okay. This is when the draft starts to fly, right? Because we're looking at our guys that are potentially going to be priority free agents or available to us later on. But that was a fast round five here. I'm trying to keep tabs for the listeners, and everything is starting to speed up a little bit. So going into the sixth round now, we've got two selections here, 198 and 237. So looking at my board, I've got Jalen Reed, the safety, still here. Justin Wally's still here, the corner. But my mind is pretty made up. Seeing that Jordan Hancock is still here, I know he's listed technically as a safety, but I do think that people will probably, or teams will consider moving him to corner because he can play just about anywhere. He obviously comes from a championship pedigree at Ohio State. He's 6 foot, 195. He had one interception, but 8 PBUs in 2024. He played primarily in the slot, but he also has experience in the box and deep, and played some boundary corner the last couple seasons before kind of moving full-time into the slot. So he's a really reliable tackler, and I think he just gives the Packers depth who can honestly play anywhere, wherever they kind of need him as a day three guy.
Yeah. You know, we're just looking to have an entire cornerback room of all slots. So and cornerbacks, only slot guys. So that's the new way we're doing this. I also have Jalen Reed. He's the top guy left on my board. Ty Hamilton, defensive end out of Ohio State. A few wide receivers. Kyle McCord, QB from Syracuse. If we want to take a backup, don't think that's going to happen. Malachi Moore, safety out of Alabama. But I'm actually going to go with another wide receiver.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Kanata Mumfield out of Pittsburgh. I like how much he played, not just outside, but also in the slot. He took pretty much equal snaps there over his career. And look, this is late round. This is, you're basically taking a flyer on a guy and seeing if he develops into anyone great. But I like his versatility. I like his size at 6'1", 185. Probably can bulk up a bit, actually. And his experience. So
let's do it.
That's my guy.
Right. Into the seventh round we go. I'm excited because one of my favorite kind of late round sleepers is still here. I don't know if you can really call him a sleeper. I just think he's a really cool player. Jalen Travis is here, the tackle out of Iowa State. And he just has such an intriguing backstory as somebody who has, you know, developed in the NFL. He used to play at Princeton. So obviously a smart player here. His brothers actually played basketball for Stanford and Harvard, so a very intelligent family. He won the 2024 Coach Wooden Citizenship Cup because he, quote unquote, makes a difference in the lives of others. So just like a really high character kind of prospect here. Played right tackle in 2022 and then transitioned to left tackle in 2023 and 2024. He's 6'7". So he is, you know, kind of primed to be like your swing tackle who could develop potentially into a starter. But yeah, just a really fun player who I think is very raw still. But that's the kind of prospect that we're going to expect the Packers to take here in round seven. So get Jalen Travis in your building and see what happens. And maybe he's your next Rashid Walker. We don't know.
Yeah, I like it. Packers really only draft tackles and put them wherever they want. So I'm thinking offensive line here as well, except that Jalen Reed is still on my board somehow. So not to just feels like if somebody that hot, ranked so high, if you can get him in the second round, that feels like a no or seventh round, excuse me, that feels like a no brainer. I also have Caleb Rogers tackle out of Texas Tech. And then we're starting to get into the later picks. So the sleepers are that is your domain, your bread and butter. But I feel like at this point, if he's still here, I can't not take Jalen Reed. Right?
Yeah, I would think he would go in like the third round.
Right.
Maybe the fourth round.
I don't know like why this simulator has left this to me. It feels quite unrealistic. But you know, the thing is though, is that
he's also still on my board for what it's worth, which is very strange.
It is very strange. Then maybe I do. Well, I've taken two wide receivers, so I have invested in my offense. All right, I'm going to take him.
Okay. I think what's so weird about this simulation, too, is that the Packers don't have that many picks, right? Yeah. 8 picks is still a lot. But for Packers fans, we're used to Goody trying to get like 10 or 11. So I'm like, wow, this draft class seems really small. 8 draft picks is not small. The Vikings have what, 5 picks? You know, like there's teams that are going into this looking for ways to acquire more picks. And I still think there's a world where Goody like trades out of 23 and trades back to get more second and third rounders, because 8 picks is a lot, but it still feels like the meat of this draft is really in kind of the middle of night 2. So we'll see. I also somehow have managed to pick basically all, like every player that comes from a school with a red logo. So my big board is just very gaudy, like very red here, except for LSU. And I'm going to continue that at pick 250 here. And given who's available to me on the board, you know, this could potentially be somebody that is an undrafted free agent, but because it's pick 250 and I want to make sure that he's in my room, this is an ode to Andy Herman because Andy loves this player. I'm going to take Drew Kendall, the center out of Boston College. One, because I love Boston College prospects, and two, well, ever since BJ Raji, but also just because he's a true center and we don't know. We have Jacob Monk on the roster. Obviously Elton Jenkins is transitioning there, but could always use developmental prospects. And I think Drew Kendall kind of fits the bill as a career center that the Packers are really going to like in Green Bay.
I am with you. A lot of the same guys for me are still left. So I think true to form, the Packers cannot leave a draft without taking offensive linemen. So I'm going to take Caleb Rogers out of Texas Tech.
Okay.
And somehow we did that.
All right, so let's go through here now and see what your draft rank is, because mine is bad. I was in the bottom 30% of Packers.
Really?
Draft. I got a B minus.
I have a B plus, top 48% of Packers draft. So that's I'm average, very average. I got an A for taking Shamar Stewart, a B minus for taking Jalen Royals, and A minus for taking Femi. My worst grade is Danny Stutzman. No, my worst grade is Justin Wally. It's a D.
I got a B for Trey Amos. I think because PFF doesn't necessarily think the Packers need a corner as much as maybe we think that could be the pick. A B minus for Trey Harris. A B minus for Ashton Jalot. Then I got a D for Miles Frazier. My only A grade is actually Jordan Hancock, the safety converted to corner in the 6th round. So not great. It also yelled at me for not taking James Pierce Jr. and taking Trey Amos instead. So yeah, this was not my finest work per PFF, but something that I think is entirely in the realm of possibilities for the Packers on draft night.
Well, good thing PFF is not the gospel. It yelled at me also for taking Femi over Andrew Mukuba because he has a higher board position. But if the Packers took a safety in round three, I think people would not be happy because that's not a need. So, but I'm happy with my B+. I think I can safely be happy with my B+. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really curious. Find us on Blue Sky on Twitter. You know, let us know. We'll post the side-by-sides here from PFF and you can compare them. I didn't love the way that the board fell for me. I know you feel similarly. So hopefully this is not a true indicator of draft night for Goody. But I still think that we managed to snag some Packers-y prospects here, even if we don't necessarily love them. And I think that's like the asterisk here that we always go for, right? Is this is not what my board would look like if I was drafting in a general manager role for the Packers. But this is what I absolutely think is in the realm of possibilities for Goot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to put that hat on, obviously, because we don't really know him and we're just going off of like the public knowledge, not what goes on inside a war room, but I am with you. And RIP to my Matthew Golden draft.
What could have been, really?
What could have been?
I'd be very curious to see what that would have ended up with grade-wise if we got Golden in the first.
But I know. People really want the Packers to take a wide receiver in the first, so you never know.
But I do agree with Peter Bukowski that I think that they have tried or have been, you know, very much considering it for many of the last, you know, drafts. And then it just, the boards haven't fallen the way that we expected to. And that could be the case. Again, this isn't a strong draft class for wide receivers. You know, maybe Goody gets aggressive and antsy and he trades up for one, but that really doesn't feel like him. You know, if someone falls to 23, maybe he sticks and picks, but I don't know. I just, there's so much value in day two that we'll see.
I'm getting this is the year that I actually do really feel like he might trade back. And I know we said they only have 8 picks, but like historically they've had more than that. So he might value the amount of choices that he gets if the board isn't following his way on Thursday.
Yeah. I think Packers fans would die if they were not able to see a night one pick in Green Bay when the draft has finally come to Green Bay. But I also think that, you know, there's teams that are going to be interested in coming up, especially if teams get antsy about quarterbacks. I don't know if anybody's going to trade all the way up to 23 for a quarterback, but getting into kind of the late round one, depending on who's available.
You never know, though, because we didn't anticipate 6 quarterbacks going as early as they did last season when everyone was like, it's not that good. So when you have that need, when you have that hole on your roster, I feel like it almost gives you blinders. Mm-hmm. And you feel the need to be aggressive to go get someone. So it could happen. They're in a weird spot at 23. 23 is probably like, that early 20s is like probably my least favorite place to be picking. And the Packers tend to pick there like often. Just because, you know, they make a playoff push but lose somewhere in the playoffs and then they end up, you know, in the 20s. But yeah, we'll see what he does. Maybe he just moves back to later in the first round and fans still get to see a pick. It'll just be late.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, make sure that you're tuning in. Cheesehead TV will be live for night one. Andy Herman's got a ton of stuff going on with Pack a Day. We will have a full draft recap show. I'll be joined by some special guests. Perry's going to be in California because, like she said last week, she somehow is always not available for the draft. She always schedules vacations during that time. But yeah, we'll have some fun. We'll talk about all of the new Packers because as much as we might not necessarily love the picks as they happen, it's always fun to get them in the building, see them put on their uniforms, pick their numbers, do their player interviews. It's always a really cool time to see these guys get to live out their dreams. And, you know, especially for the guy that is going to be the selection in night one, if he might potentially be in Green Bay already to have that memory. So be a lot of fun coming up here. We made it through the off season. Draft content is wrapping up. So if you're not a fan of the draft content, it's almost over, right? We almost have new players to talk about instead of just hypotheticals. But thank you so much for listening. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. You can find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Twitter at PWSS Podcast, or at Pax What She Said, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Thank you as always for listening to the show. This is a long one, but it's a fun one to talk through what we think the Packers are going to do here in their war room. So join us next week. We'll have some cool guests, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.